Centuries ago, in the Middle East, a boy was born in Bethlehem who was destined to sit on the throne of Israel. This boy had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. In fact, anyone looking for a king would not have chosen him. And yet, the announcement given by the angel Gabriel of his impending birth couldn't have been clearer. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Yes, I am now finally, surely talking about Jesus. And yet, my opening two sentences could equally apply to David. He was born in Bethlehem, destined to sit on Israel's throne. Nothing special about this young man. In fact, when Samuel went to anoint one of Jesse's sons, Jesse didn't even bother to have him show up. He wasn't the strong, fit, strapping king-like one. We arrayed all the king-like ones, and it wasn't this one, it wasn't this one, it wasn't this one. Do you have any more sons? Oh, yeah, there's the pipsqueak out in the field. Bring him. Bring him. And the same was true of Jesus. That line, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. That's from Isaiah 53, one of the servant songs. And yet Gabriel was clear. Jesus will sit on David's throne. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. He is great, David's greater son. The true and better David, ruling over God's people forever. And I want that word, forever, to hang in your mind this morning. Because it is that note sounded by the angel Gabriel that has a whole history behind it. If we go back to 2 Samuel 7, we see David busy planning to build a house for the Lord. It's not right that I dwell in a paneled house, and yet God's ark is in a tent. I'm going to build him a great temple. And the Lord speaks to David through the prophet Nathan, saying this: "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I took you from the pasture, from following sheep, that you should be prince over my people. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." You're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." You can't leave 2 Samuel 7 without hearing that word forever attached to the throne of David. And the prophets picked up on this promise, repeating it again and again for subsequent generations. For example, close to 400 years after David's death, the prophet Ezekiel uttered the word of the Lord saying this: "My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in their land and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. 160 years earlier, 340 years after David's death, Isaiah prophesied saying, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Indeed, when the angels visited the shepherds, they alluded to this promise in Isaiah 9, saying, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is the true and better David who will reign over God's people for all eternity." But what is the nature of his forever reign? What will it be like? To answer that question, I want to direct your attention this morning to Israel's anointing of David as king. Not Samuel's anointing. We're all familiar with that. In 1 Samuel, but Israel's anointing of David as king recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 257, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, "You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Of course, before David became king, he was perhaps best known for his role in slaying the giant Goliath. And so our Jesse Tree ornament this week is a little leather sling to remind us of how David defeated the enemy of God's people. But having defeated that enemy, David ascended the throne, where according to verse 2, the Lord said he would serve as shepherd of and prince over his people Israel. These two titles, shepherd and prince, speak not only to David's rule, how David would rule, but to that of the true and better David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he rules. According to the New Testament, Jesus is said to be the good shepherd, John 10, verses 11 and 14. The great shepherd, Hebrews 13, verse 20. And even the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5, verse 4. At the same time, He is called both the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Life. As the perfect man after God's own heart, Jesus' reign is everything David's was and more. And so, in the time that we have remaining, I want to examine what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd and to be our prince. First, what does it mean for us to say that Jesus, the true and better David, is shepherd of his people? Well, 2 weeks ago, Jim Yovanovitch sent me an article entitled, "What Does the Shepherd Do?" And although focused on pastors, the four broad responsibilities it outlines are responsibilities that David would no doubt have resonated with. Shepherds are to know the sheep, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, and protect the sheep. Having grown up as a shepherd boy himself, David knew what it was like to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, David told King Saul about how he went out and would after such an animal and would strike him and deliver the lamb out of its mouth. And if the lion arose against David, David caught him by its beard, struck him, and killed him. And so shepherds, be they pastors or be they kings, are to lead, feed, know, and protect the sheep. And if and when they fail, that's where Jesus, the true and better David, steps in and cares for his own. Nowhere is this more clearly seen than in Ezekiel's prophecy against the shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34. In fact, I invite you to turn there, page 722 of the Pew Bible, and follow along because I want to read verses 1 to 24, a lengthy section with you. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 24. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Again, this David spoken of here has to be the true and better David, since Jesse's son, who reigned as king for 40 years, died close to 400 years before this prophecy was uttered. And although David becomes the gold standard against which all successive kings of Israel and Judah are judged, he nonetheless failed to lead, feed, know, and protect the flock as he ought to have consistently. He didn't fail outright, but there were significant failures. Think of how he stayed home from war, only to commit adultery with Bathsheba and subsequently have her husband Uriah murdered. That serves as a testament to David's failure. He was not leading. He was not protecting his flock as he ought to have. But where David fails, where your pastors and elders may fail you, Jesus never fails. He rescues his flock. He feeds his flock. He judges between sheep and sheep, providing each with the unique care that they need, be that encouragement or teaching or rebuke or exhortation. Christ knows his sheep perfectly. He leads them perfectly. He feeds them perfectly. He protects them perfectly. Christ is the true and better David, the perfect shepherd of his people. But that's not all. Christ, the true and better David, is also the perfect prince over his people. Look again at 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you, David, who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. According to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word nagid, translated here as prince, is applied to leaders in several fields: governmental, military, and religious. The word is usually singular, as it is here, and refers to the man at the top, the king, the high priest, etc. Incidentally, the Messiah is called Nagid in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. There we read this: "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince, Nagid, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself." Christ, the perfect prince over his people in every field, governmental, military, and religious, was cut off, but not for himself. He was cut off for you, and he was cut off for me. In our place, condemned he stood. That's what we sing, right? He bled and he conquered in our place. He conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered hell. And as prince over us, we need to recognize and embrace the submission that we owe to our Savior, Lord, and King. What he says goes in every field, whether we like it or not. What he says with respect to government, what he says with respect to the military, what he says with respect to religion, what he says with respect to life, morality, sexuality, you name it. What he says goes, and we must submit. If we do not, there is no real way in which we can say he is over us. We are choosing to place ourselves over him. No, what I say goes. And God help us if that's where we're at. Christ is the true and better David. He is the perfect prince over his people. The question is, are you one of his people? Are you under him? Are you joyfully submitting to his will and design as revealed in Holy Scripture? If not, then you need to recognize that you're serving as your own prince, and that won't play out well come Judgment Day. The good news, however, is that Messiah, the prince, was cut off for you. You don't need to be cut off forever, even though that is exactly what you and I both deserve. Jesus Christ, the true and better David, also came as the true and better Adam, the better representative for mankind, who never succumbed to temptation and whose perfect righteousness leads to justification and life for all who trust in him. Not only that, he came as the true and better Isaac, the better son of sacrifice, who dies in the place of and atones for all those who trust in him. What's more, Jesus came as the true and better Moses, the better deliverer who delivers God's people out of their slavery to sin with all of its layers and leads them into the promised land where, as the true and better David, he will shepherd and reign over his people forever and ever. This is good news. You want Jesus as your forever king. His knowledge of you is perfect. His leading of you is perfect if you will follow him. His feeding of you is perfect as you get in his word. And his protection of you is perfect as well. And so we sing, Christ the true and better David, lowly shepherd, mighty king, he the champion in the battle, where, O death, is now thy sting. In our place he bled and conquered, crown him Lord of majesty. His shall be the throne forever, we shall heir his people be.